we'll call the December, what day is this, 7th meeting to of the Finance Committee to order. Can item two, consider finding that as a result of the COVID-19 emergency, one meeting in person would present imminent risks to the health or safety of attendees, and two, the meeting is authorized and held by teleconference pursuant to Government Code 54953, subdivisions, I guess that is, E1C. Do we have to do any more with that, Amelia, or do Marty and I have to vote or something?
I just need to hear that it's your desire to have this meeting via Zoom today.
It is totally my desire to do so.
And is mine.
Very good. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
So it is unanimous, and away we go. Okay, item three, comments from the public. You can do that now, or you can do it with a specific item. Any hands or chats, Amelia?
I have no chats. I have no hands.
Okay. Item four, finance monthly updates. I guess this is Paula on recruitment and general update on current finance.
It is Paula, and we had a last minute update to this, so she has added some things. You can find it on the internet on their website if you'd like a hard copy of her updates.
Okay.
Yes.
Paula, go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to jump around on this staff report a little bit. One of the things I want to talk about first is recruitment, because we did receive those two new positions and we're actively working to fill them. And we were able to recruit an HR specialist who has amazing qualifications and experience, and we're really excited to have her on board. Her tentative start date is going to be January 4th, and I've been keeping in touch with her, so I know she's actively working to get her backgrounds done. The reason for the delay in her starting after January is because she has to train her replacement at her current job, and so I wanted to make sure that she and her former employer had everything they need so we can bring her on board and not have to share her time. So we are continuing to recruit for the utility billing specialist. We've had a lot of applications for that, and we've done some interviews. We just haven't found the right qualifications and experience that we're looking for. We're gonna have some additional interviews scheduled within the next couple of weeks as well. So hopefully we'll have those two positions filled. We'll get the staff on board and we'll start getting them trained and ready to go. The other thing for finance reporting is that we're still working with Richardson and Company CPAs. We were a little late getting our audit completed. We've had a lot of cleanup work to do in 2021 fiscal year. And then we've also had the new accounting manager and accountant on board in early November. So that's contributed to some of the delays, but we are working with that, and we should be done, I would say, by the end of January, maybe mid-February, we should have that audit wrapped up and completed. And then the contract for the ERP, we are planning to move forward with Tyler. We have issued a letter of intent to award with them. We posted that on the website last month. We are still in contract negotiations with them, and we do have Cody Gunstenson with us today. He's going to be providing a quick demo, a little high-level overview of our utility billing, some of the website, some of the system screens, and so that we can kind of give you an idea of what we're looking at as far as the Tyler Encode system and what the district will be using moving forward. And then the final thing is our utility billing. So back in November, we had Yolanda Pauly come out. She's the program manager for Platinum Utility Star. And one of the things that she was tasked to do was to kind of help us go through all of our files and look at off billing accounts, past dues, kind of help us clean up some of the things that we've been seeing, some of the processes that we weren't sure had been done, some things that kind of caught our attention and needed addressing. And so one of the things that we found was that we have credits to customers that date back to 2012. And what these are is when someone moves out of their home, they pay the final bill. And sometimes they pay the final bill, and sometimes it's a title company that pays the final bill. And what happens is the title company will retain a set dollar amount, and then they'll use that towards the final utility bill once we close out the account and start a new account for the new customer. And in some cases, there are refunds due. And what's happened is these refunds have not been processed. And this has been going back since 2012. And so what we found is that the total due from 2012 to 2019, end of calendar year 2019, is slightly over $13,500. And the amount due for the last two calendar years is approximately $14,000. And so what we'd like to do is start mailing refunds to the appropriate parties. You know, we do understand that it might be a little bit difficult to locate some of the individuals, but really it's just we need to get these off of our books. We need to resolve this issue, make our former residents whole, and move forward. And, you know, there's a significant process that's going to go into that, but we wanted to bring this to the committee to let them know that this is what our plan is. And, you know, ultimately, we probably won't pay out the full $27,000, but we want to at least make that attempt so that we make the residents and the title companies whole.
And Paula, most of these amounts are relatively small, correct?
I'm sorry, you cut out. What was that?
Most of the amounts due and from are relatively small amounts. There's just a bunch of them, correct?
That's correct. You know, I think the largest one that I saw was slightly over $100. Most of them are between $30 to $50 more, but there's a lot of them. There's a significant number that that we have throughout all of these years.
And also, this is also part of our preparation for moving to the Tyler Encode product for utility billing. It's going to be an immense upgrade to our customer service portal and stuff, right?
That's correct. Yes. A lot of this has to do with the cleanup. You know, we're cleaning up our all of our systems at this point. But yes, this is part of that process. Anyone have any questions?
Questions, anybody? Hands, Amelia? Yeah.
Okay. No questions, no chat.
Okay, Paula, go ahead.
Okay, well, that's it for the monthly finance updates.
Right, so all right, well, moving back up to the agenda, Amelia, and we'll move on to the next item. Okay, item five, updated credit card policy. Paula, again, I'm assuming.
Yes, that is also me. So the last time this policy had been revisited was back in 2010. And obviously a lot of things have changed with the district. We don't issue, the credit card that we issue is a Cal card through US Bank. And US Bank has specific prohibitions on usage. And so we wanted to capture all of that information. The existing policy doesn't really talk a lot about the usage of the Cal card and the district's restrictions on the Cal card as well. And so we wanted to capture all of that information since this is a document that when a credit card from US Bank is issued to a district employee, they sign it that they've acknowledged that they've read this policy. And so we wanted to capture all of the correct information to ensure that we are able to provide our employees with proper training, they understand what the card is used for, what it can be used for, and that they will sign it. So once this has been passed, then we will reissue this policy out to all of the employees that are currently holding Cal cards through US Bank, and we'll have them review it and re-sign it. This also goes through what each additional responsibilities are for the employees, what their role is as far as the reconciliation, and what to do if you lost or stolen card, so on and so forth. So it's fairly cut and dry. We did have the attorney take a look at it, and Christine provided additional recommendations. And so this is what you're seeing here is the changes that I've made, as well as Christine from Dick Shanahan's office.
One question I had is this a card we use when we buy gas, or do we have some other deal working on that, or what?
Yes, this is our gas card. This is all of our staff use for gas cards. They also use it for other small minor purchases as well. Some of the things that we can't purchase through running through an invoicing system. Sometimes we buy things through Amazon, for example, and we're able to use the Cal card to do that. And so really all it is it's just a payment mechanism. It's not an actual funded account.
Right. So you would essentially then take the statement and allocate the line items on the statement back to some particular account. Is that how that would work?
That's correct. So typically what happens with the reconciliation is that the staff save all of their receipts. Once they receive their statement, they attach all of their receipts, and then we go through and we pay it, and then we charge those items to a specific account when we pay the bill to U.S. Bank.
Okay. All right. Marty, you have any questions?
Nope. It seems reasonable to me.
Yeah, it seems pretty clear cut. Anybody else? Amelia, anything here?
Two things. First of all, this was another good addition, so it is on the internet on our website. If anybody is interested in looking at a hard copy, and then I would just like to know if you and Marty would like to move this to the board December 15th.
Yeah, I would, Marty. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. You're in business.
Cool. Sweet.
Okay.
Yeah. He's something to do.
All right. Move us back up to the top. Security opinion poll update. Who's doing this, Tom?
This is me. And the last time we talked about this, we gave out a sample of the poll, and I committed to meeting with individually with directors to get their input on where they're at with it and how they wanted the questions to, if they wanted any modifications to the questions or any of the direction. And I've only got one more director to reach out to, and I'll do that today. And then hopefully I can have this put together with the example of what the questions are going to be by the board meeting in next week, get that approved. And then the plan would be to conduct the poll during the month of January.
Okay.
So I think by February, we'll be able to come back to the finance committee meeting with a presentation of the poll, maybe as February or maybe March, depending on how long it takes the pollster to get their information together.
So once you have reviewed this with each of the directors, does this completed poll document come back to the board? What's the procedure moving forward as it relates to putting it on agendas or whatever?
The plan is to bring it to the board at the December board meeting for approval.
Okay.
And then hand it over to Timothy McClerney to get his team together, and they start going through their process where they use their scientific process for selecting who to call and to conduct the calls. And if people aren't available, they have a mechanism to find another person with similar characteristics,
right,
to call them, so they get what they feel is a valid poll.
Are they going to know specifically who they should omit? I mean, we obviously don't want them calling me or Marty or any of the directors, or are there any other people that in the community, based on the position that they have, should be excluded? Or I don't even know if they want to do that, but I'm just asking a question.
I'll ask him. I have an appointment with him later today or tomorrow, depending on his schedule. I'll ask him about that. Clearly, we shouldn't be calling directors, and if any employees live in the district, he shouldn't be calling the employees, I would think.
Right, right.
And then other than that, it's totally, he selects people based upon their information.
Yeah, okay. Can you make sure that we get like 72 hours or more to look at this finished document before it comes to the board?
Absolutely. If you'd like, we can bring it to the Finance Committee in January. Give everybody a little bit more time. Things are kind of crunched around the holidays.
whatever works. I just want to make sure that all of us have had, you know, collectively enough time to read it a couple of times and digest what's in there.
Okay. I'll make sure that happens.
Okay.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
The last number of meetings we've had on this subject, I have requested that you give us some sort of derivation of what costs, or how the costs were arrived at, and some sort of an idea of how we're going to handle unequal payments to various citizens in the district. Do you have that yet?
When you say unequal payments, Martin.
Well, the attorney told us that everybody had to pay the same. And the questionnaire says some people are going to pay different amounts.
Yeah, we're cleaning that up on the questionnaire. The amounts being suggested to be paid will come out of the poll. But as I recall, if the poll comes out that only, you know, if there's an overwhelming support for having a new special tax, that we would move forward with the vote, I believe the special tax, and according to our attorney, has to be equally applied to every piece of property and not unequally applied as the previous special tax was. So different entities pay different amounts in current Measure J, but under the new law, as special taxes like this are levied based upon property, the property is the same amount across the board. So that's something when we get down to the final discussion, we're going to have to review with Dick Shanahan again.
So in that situation, you're not saying, for example, that property in the village would be paying the same rate as property inside the gates, are you?
At this point in time, and I'm going to be careful what I say because I have to, like I say, go back to Dick Shanahan. At this point in time, I believe that every property would pay an equal amount because I think it's called the Baracus decision, Southern California decision, where they had to equally charge. We charge the same amount to every property, regardless of property size or type.
So, would that essentially mean, in that context, that the village would be paying for gate operations?
It might be something we have to weed out, John, as we get more to a finite decision.
Well, here, wait a minute now. I would seem to me we want to absolutely understand all of that before we issue the poll, correct?
Yes. And okay. Yeah, based on this line of discussion, I think we're best to finish the poll up, run it by the directors again, and then put it in Dick Shanahan and Timothy McCarney's hands again to make sure that we have those questions answered very clearly.
Okay, because I'm not sure if that scenario, if it turns out to be true, I think we kind of are reinventing the wheel here. I don't know. I'm trying to, you know, off the top of my head, understand what the ramifications of that would be, but it seems to me they would be fairly significant.
Yeah, there's a big difference between the people who are not going through the gates every day. So I need to answer those. I need to get those answers for
you. Is there any, as part of that Baracus thing, is there anything in there that would suggest that there would be a different way of assessing the other categories, such as commercial and undeveloped property and the country club and that stuff, does that fall under this law, or is it simply residential?
It falls under this law, and that's the reason we did not amend Measure J. So for instance, somebody with a big undeveloped property in the district would pay the same amount as somebody with a circle lot, because they each have a piece of property. And under this decision that Dick identified a couple months ago, as we were partway through this process, he suggested that we not amend Measure J and that we propose a new special tax and leave Measure J as is.
Okay.
Don't we have the ability to restrict these funds to just patrol?
We could. We definitely could say this is just for patrol. And that would be another question added to the poll. So this being said, I think we need to come back to the January finance meeting with the final proposed questionnaire.
Yeah. And at some point then, I mean, we have to get Dick to make a presentation of some kind. Just, you know, rather than put this on a piece of paper, I would assume that, you know, he's going to walk us through the overall implications of this. I don't want to go off half cocked and do something here that we regret.
Okay. I'll circle back with Dick.
Okay. And if it pushes it back a month, it pushes it back a month. I want to make sure we get this right.
Will you provide us a derivation of these costs that are in that survey?
Yes. Okay. Paula and I have been working on that over the past couple of weeks.
Okay, yeah, that seems to me that we shouldn't let it out of the finance committee until we get all that stuff straightened out.
Okay.
Okay. And
I do, if I may, sir, I do have a hand raised. Are you ready for
yes.
the comment?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, it seems like you're headed in this direction, but I definitely think you need to answer these questions before you do the poll. And I think you definitely need to communicate to the community, because as a resident of the village, I definitely want to know where we stand and what we're paying and what we're paying for. So, but no, it sounds like you're headed in that direction. So
yeah, we're gonna do. I think, Richard, we're going to do exactly what you're suggesting. That's what I have in mind. I want to make sure we understand it all before we step off and execute this thing.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Okay.
And John and Martin, we have the June election, but we also have the November election. So whatever we get out of this is a long-term decision. So if we need a couple more months to make sure we get it right, then let's get it right.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty. Any more on this item? Marty, you have anything?
No, that's it.
Okay. Okay, Paula, is there a presentation we got here or something that comes on here, or how's this work?
So what's going to happen is I'm going to turn this over to Cody Gunstenson. He is the representative from Tyler Technologies that we have been working with throughout this process. And he and I believe Mark Workman is also on board to provide a quick high-level presentation of the Tyler system. They're probably going to walk us through some screens, and then they'll be able to answer any questions that the committee members may have. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Cody. And then Amelia, can you?
I made him a co-host. Cody, will you be the one who's leading our presentation?
Hi, good morning. Actually, Amelia, could you make my colleague Mark Workman the presenter?
Mark, you'll have to unmute yourself. I'll make you a co-host. Oh, somebody's sharing.
There you go. And Amelia, I'm going to mute myself, but why don't you make sure everybody except these folks is muted until they need to get back on and make a question.
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Okay.
On.
Perfect. Well, thank you all for the time and the opportunity this morning. Again, I just want to introduce myself and my colleague here. So my name is Cody Gunstinson. I am one of the account executives here with our Tyler Technologies Encode product. We also have on the call today is my colleague, Mark Workman. Mark is one of our solutions consultants who's going to be doing the demonstration this morning. Both myself and Mark have been working with Paula, Tom, and in the district team there, and Nabil throughout the RFP process. So, we're very excited to be here this morning and continue forward in this process. That said, I know we've got a short amount of time, so I'm gonna go ahead and turn it over to my colleague, Mark. And Mark's going to provide a high-level demonstration. We'll look at kind of a high-level overview and then take a look at some different aspects of the software for both the employees as well as some of your customers. That being said, Mark, I will turn it over to you, sir.
Okay, it sounds like you guys can see my screen. Can you hear me okay? I know everybody muted, so maybe just...
Yeah,
okay.
You're fine.
Okay, perfect. All right. Yes, my plan is to just go over some significant features of the software, and we've just picked a few things to highlight here to show you guys. So the first item is dashboards. So when a user logs in, like in this case, it's a finance user. When they log in, you land on a dashboard, and the dashboards allow you to navigate the places. They also are where you take care of approving things. So, maybe I should even back up from here and say, the software that you're looking at us from are your finance software, your finance management of the district, also your personnel management, so payroll and HR, and then of course, utility billing. Those are the three core areas. There's a lot of other more minor modules that are options that are also being looked at on the contract here. Okay, so in the finance section, I've logged in as one user, and you're seeing their dashboard. This is also where you take care of your approvals for things. So many items in the software do allow you to have one user put information in and have multiple users potentially approving that before it's actually committed in the system. And so you can see right here on these smart cards that she's got some requisitions to approve, a budget adjustment to approve, and we can look in here and just approve it, reject it, or maybe we want to go look at the details of that. So we can come in here and do that. And then, or share it with somebody else that we want to, through an email that we want to have a look at this also. So you got your approvals. Then the other thing, which is really helpful too, is we're all used to like running a report to find out information, but the system also has the concept of just alerting or notifying you of conditions that are going on that might be important to you. So for instance, I've got a contract that's expiring in 30 days. It's letting me know that. I didn't have to go run a report to find that out, or my invoices that are past due over a certain time frame. It's just proactively alerting me to these things. There's actually many, many different smart cards. They only show up if the condition exists. And in fact, if you guys, if your team there comes up with some other suggestions for these, we can add additional ones to this. So that would help just specifically you guys out. And then lastly, you're seeing on here are these charts and graphs. There's actually many, many different ones for different user types throughout the system. You can interact with these also. You can come in and switch the what you're looking at. Like if I only wanted to see gas-related utility fund, I could switch my graph to that, or if I could switch the time period I'm looking at here. And then I'm able to interact with these graphs like by hovering over a bar and getting the dollar amounts there. And then also you can actually drill into that. So if I were to click that bar, it would take me into my account code screen and I can continue to analyze that data from there. But just for a quick example, we'll leave it at that. But just to show you some other examples. So here's where I've logged in as Ed, and he's in the utility side. And notice his dashboard's very different than Anita's from the finance side. And we can actually combine the items. So if they have an employee that does payroll, but also does accounts payable, they'll see all the elements that are important to them. But I can launch right into adding a new utility account within the system, initiating an adjustment, taking a payment. I have, in fact, one of the things I heard you guys talking about earlier in the session today, just keeping track of those accounts, maybe where we have credits. And so in this case, I have inactive accounts with credit balances that I may need to eventually issue refunds for, you know, and I didn't have to run a report to find that out. It's proactively telling me right here on the dashboard. So that's just some of the examples of a different type of dashboard. One of the other things you guys are looking at in the contract is we distinguish work in the system between service orders and work orders. Service orders are things that are account, utility account related, like connections, disconnections, placing meters and such. Those are all tracked in there. And then work orders are more of the things that aren't necessarily related to a utility account, like fixing a broken water main or something like that. So those are both other solutions that are also looking at as part of the contract of solutions that we provide. One more dashboard, just as an example here, is from my personnel person. So here's Susie, and she's my payroll clerk in my demo data here. And you can see very different areas of staff and pay and leave information. And it's letting me know people that have an upcoming work anniversary, just different things that would pertain to running your HR and payroll in overtime and turnover and those type of things. So that's an example of our dashboards. Another feature that we were going to highlight is our searching capabilities. So that we have search screens that are particular to each of the areas of the system, of course, but up here at the top, we have a global search. So I can do things like just type in any portion of a name or a number for something, and it'll search across the system and then come back with those results. And you can see it's pretty quick. And I can come in and say, okay, well, let's narrow this down to just my two payroll employees and my, or actually my three payroll employees and my two utility accounts. And then if I wanted to get some more information about those here, I could, or actually go into that record. Chris is also a utility customer. I see the service address. He has a zero balance. That's good. If I click in the view items, it'll open up and actually show you a record within the system. You can see that this person's a tenant. They're active, they're residential, their balance, their last consumption. So just all kind of great information for your account managers to be able to answer questions quickly, do a bill reprint, email them another copy of a bill if they needed to, right from here. Let's do one more example here. I'm going to search, let's say we need to get some more boots for our field workers. And I can't remember who I ordered that from a few years ago. So I'm just going to search for boots and see if I can't find a purchase requisition or an invoice or something. So I do have four invoices. So let's look at those. And it's okay. Yeah, that's right. It was this industrial uniform company. This dollar amount looks right to me. So I'm going to jump into here and look at this invoice and see that information. So now I know the vendor. And if I look on this item distribution view, I can see the amount we paid and the account that we paid for it from. And I'm kind of wondering, do I have budget this year from that same account code to buy some more boots? So I'm going to click on the account code and drill into that information. I'm going to go right to the budget here. And it's going to say, yeah, I do. I have $11,000 available as of right now. So it's a real-time system. When the users are using the system, they'll know exactly how much they have committed on any particular expense or also what they've got, any particular revenue area. We also have a full document management system built within here. And I see on this invoice record, we do have a document attached. So let's go see what that is. It might be a picture of the item. It could be a packing slip or a warranty card. In this case, it happens to be the invoice. So I'm going to have the ability to attach the actual related documents to everything we do in the system for utilities, for personnel, for finance. I'm going to be able to attach those actual documents right within the system. You know, one of the goals as people do these types of upgrades is to get more and more paperless where possible. But we still need to be able to track all these documents, search on them when needed by an auditor or something like that. And then also put a retention schedule on there. So if I need to keep, you know, this type of document for 5 years and another type of document for 10 years, I don't have to go through filing cabinets to get rid of them. Those are all scheduled in the software. I'll get a report of what's about to be purged. I give it the go ahead and they're gone. So I'm managing all those documents within the system. I can also mark documents up to do like to protect personal information like social security numbers. I can redact things within the document system. So that's part of this proposal. The same document system works across all those various areas of personnel, finance, utilities. It's all backed up within the system. Okay. Another area that we thought we would highlight is some of the web portals that are associated. So one is for the employees, the actual staff members. They have a web portal that they can come in and we call this employee self-service. And as the name implies, it's really a win-win for the organization and for the staff members because they can look up information on their schedule whenever they'd like. And it takes some workload off the personnel staff because they're not having to answer these questions. So they can log in. You might have information, current information that's going on for them. You could have documents easily available to them, announcements. But they can do onboarding tasks, like any kind of tasks that you give a new hire to do that can all be organized in here. They can do their enrollment for their benefits within here. They can update they could change their direct deposits. They could check, they could actually do a new W-4 all right here within this system. They can even do a paycheck calculator to do some what if scenarios with their pay. And of course they have the ability to come in and check some of the history like of their pay and answer, you know, for any date range, I can get my earnings, deductions, taxes. We do all the federal and state reporting that needs to be done as part of the system. It's all maintained in there. If I did need to get a reprint of something, like let's say I'm trying to get a car loan and I need my last four pay stubs and I can only find the last one, not a problem. The system's going to automatically store each of those documents just by processing the payroll. So I could come back in here and get a copy of any of those at any time that I need it. Same thing with W-2s. We have a nice little compensation statement in here. Lets them know all their compensation, not only their paid compensation, but the employer paid benefits. So they see a picture of that complete picture. There's also the ability to do time and attendance within here. So just wanted to kind of give you a little highlight of this. And the other portal we were going to highlight is for your utility customers. We do have a utility billing online site, so it'll link right off your guys' main website. We'll make the flow in as far as the background pictures and the landing pictures and stuff. So that looks like it's just part of your website. But this gives a place where a utility customer can, of course, come in and pay their bill, maybe most importantly, but also review any kind of like get their own bill reprints. Review past transactions on any accounts. It timed me out for security reasons. So let me go back in here real quick. Thought it would be okay, but there we go. So I can see all my payments, all my bills for any date range I want to look at here. And I can also look at consumption myself so that I can look at when I have a consumption for a particular area. I can always come in and review, like, what did I have a year ago and be able to view that. Jump over to monthly here. The past history, that information. And then, of course, that main point of being able to pay. And one of the ideas of this is that to minimize, you know, the work, to make this as automated as possible. So when somebody does pay here, it's real time. We're going to know, like, if somebody was about to be cut off because of non-payment or something, the system will already know. So when we go to run that cutoff routine, it'll already see that I just paid this in real time and not cut me off, as an example. Plus, I don't have to re-enter this work into the financial system. Everything that happens here, I'm just going to be able to review and then post right into the system. There's some other functionality like being able to initiate a new service. And then we're also working on initiating a disconnect, the next feature that'll be coming out here. But those are the core areas I had in mind to show you for a quick demonstration. But of course, I can go into any other areas or answer any questions for you guys. We'd love to do that.
Yeah, this is John. I'd like to start, Paula, in terms of hardware support. I mean, is there anything in conjunction with what we're looking at here that we need to buy or we don't have to make this work efficiently?
No, I don't believe so. We have some really good equipment currently in use with both of our laptops and desktops. And this is also web-based. So it's really just our connectivity that we may possibly have issues with. I don't foresee that creating a significant problem for us.
Okay, and then as an extension of what we've looked at here, just really briefly, can you show me the output as a result of what we have here for monthly reports, in other words, financials and everything else?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I actually meant to show a couple of reports, so that was my bad. So
Mark, sorry for the interruption. Mark and Cody, I would like you also to show the board, please, you know, the public-facing financial data view that we saw before. Thank you.
Is that open finance? Is that what you're talking about, Cody?
Yes, I believe that.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. So
this is Tom Hennig. That voice you just heard was Nabil Ferris. He's a consultant that we hired to help us with the selection of this product. So,
okay.
You haven't met him before because of COVID, but there he is.
Yep. Thank you. It's a pleasure to serve with you. And I enjoy working with Tom and Paula tremendously. Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. Yeah. So, to answer that first question about some reporting, There's actually many layers of reports available, and you know we definitely showed your team all that, but to highlight the standard core like financial reporting area, so that's in this reporting tab here, and there's over 700 built-in reports. They are organized by module area, so if you go into a particular module, then as I type at the top of the column here, I can filter down to the report I'm trying to run, and you have some selection criteria. And one of the kind of more advanced features that this has is that you can share reports. So even though this user is going to run the report, they can choose other users that are also going to get the report. And the system does have notifications also. So a notification is going to pop up at the bottom of the screen here when they get that. So I'm going to go ahead and run this report. It actually sends it back to the server, so the user can keep working on other things. And when it's done, that's what the notification looks like. And so now when I click on that, it'll open up into my report viewer, and we'll see a report here. And you can export reports in all these different file formats. Okay, they can email it, it'll attach it to a PDF and send it right through the email system. And the reports are also drillable. So even though I'm looking at a summary report in here, I can click on that and look at the invoice in more detail or look at any associated documents if they have that. So that's kind of the main report area. There's also the full report writer built in. So if there's a report that needs to be added for you guys can either do that yourselves or you can have us do that also. But there's the full report writing capability is included in the software, as well as being able to share reports with other districts. So we have a nice little area where they can go up and they can say, hey, we're looking for a report that does X, Y, Z. Somebody else, you know, in California may come back and say, oh yeah, we already have that. They just export it, drop it in an email, you import it, now you have that report. All right, getting, especially on finance reports, so on this deliveries area, you see the reports that you've run previously. So if I look at an income statement here as an example, any kind of revenue expense type of report, there's so many in the system, but you're going to be able to group those and do subtotals. And, you know, we're looking at with the original budget, with the adjusted budget, monthly activity, year-to-date activity, and then budget fully remaining available, you know, and then with totals and everything also. But the other thing that the consultant was telling me to also make sure to show you guys, and let's see if I have that. Looking right at it. Shoot. Let me check one other place real quick. Sorry, this wasn't my plan, so I just have to like go to another area to find this real quick. I'm surprised I don't have it there, but apparently I don't. Okay, I think I have it. Let's see. Bear with me. It's the wrong one. Here we go. This should be the right one. So another module that we offer is something we call Open Finance. And what Open Finance is it allows you to, again, with very little, in fact, no additional effort out of the main financial system, to make this information available to the public. And some states and localities and such have some transparency laws out there. And some of them actually get detailed on what the requirements are. Like you can't just necessarily put a PDF report up on your website. It has to be maybe interactive where somebody can actually download information even and that kind of thing. So this is our solution that will take the information that you already are creating in the financial system and then make it nicely available to the public. And so when you land on here, you might have this financial summary right up front here, and then they can go explore in any of those areas. They have this top budget categories, revenue categories, top vendors, and all these things can be drilled in on so I can get the underlying detail of those. You might highlight certain things that you want to, like your last CAFR. You could put that up on here too. You can have common questions that people might ask about the entity. They can actually, if you choose to, now some of these things, you have some choices on what you want to provide, but you might provide payroll information with, you know, public information that and you might provide it all, or you may just provide summary level information. So you have some choices on that. But as you go into any of these particular areas, like I mentioned, it does, it will break down with very nice charts created. They can actually pick the chart types they want to look at. They'll see breakouts of the numbers, and you can keep drilling into further and further detail of this information. And they actually do have ways to export the information out of the system also. That's a quick view of that. Other questions or things I could show you guys?
Anything you want to talk about, Paula, relates to system security or the ability to track users and where they are and what they're doing and that kind of thing?
I would actually have to defer that to Mark. I'm not sure that we would specifically be looking into that. If you're talking about the public facing one, I would assume there would be trackers more, but I'm not very familiar.
And so the system does have a lot of security, you know, obviously built in. It's the websites can have the same type of security that you're used to with your online banking, as far as encrypting everything that's being done with that high level of encryption. At a user level, you have your, obviously they have their names and passwords, but then there's also roles and then account-based security, as far as this user might be able to do these things, but they can't do those things, or they can read only here, but they can't write. There's a full set of, you know, security set up, and I'm not I'm sure exactly this is what you're looking for, but it, you know, as far as the servers themselves, they're in, housed in, this would probably be in our Amazon Web Services, AWS, which, you know, really the top two vendors are Amazon and Microsoft in that area.
Mark, sorry for interruption.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think I'm hearing the question in a couple of things. Part of it that you answered, that the back end is safe and secure. But we want to make sure, if I would log into the system as a super user, there is a before and after. So you have a log on the server speaking that I changed this field from 1 to 5. So I recall in that we talked about this before, and you have it, but just refresh my memory.
Yes,
just
to
make sure you have the logs. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, everything that you do in the system is logged. Okay, so let me just say that first of all. And then secondarily, like if we go to a particular screen and we pull up a record, so let's pull up AT&T here. What you'll see on the records is this icon right here, and that's your audit trail. So if I click on there, then exactly what you're mentioning, the user, the date and time, what the value was, what they switched it to. Now that's record by record, but you also have for every particular area, let's type it in up here. This is your menu, by the way. If I say audit log, so if I go to this audit log in the common area, this allows me to pick any of the modules, and I can search, like I might do something like show me everything Cody did in payroll from January to March, and I would see it all instead of record by record. So yeah, every transaction is logged, the user, the date and time, the previous value and the ending value is all in the system.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was headed, and that does answer my question. Marty, you got anything here?
Yeah, are we considering a module that lets us track capital improvement projects?
On your proposal.
Yes.
That's part of it, the project accounting. Mm-hmm. We are definitely including that in the package for the contract. That is something that we desperately need and are absolutely looking forward to using it. Yes.
Yeah, this allows you to track both grants and projects, things that aren't necessarily fiscal year based. So it can be any time frame. Like here's a 10-year project with revenues and expenses, and then specific accounts for that project and the funding sources and the contracts and everything related to it.
Thank John, you. Can I ask a question?
Oh, yeah. Who is it?
This is John Sullivan.
Go ahead, John.
Could you talk about how, let's take time cards and payroll and labor distribution as a group. If the district is charging out labor against projects, is the source document the time card, or is the source document the labor distribution that comes out of payroll?
So this is Mark from Tyler. There's choices on how people do that. Like I could make a field worker, let's say, and I could say like they spent 20% of their time on this and they spend 50% of their time on this. So I could do it at a straight distribution percentage level on the employees position set up, if you will, or okay. I could do it based on the hours. In other words, when you're working on this project or on this work order, let's say, I could assign it to my time based on that. And then I could pull reports of, okay, this was, instead of just saying they were 20% this, 40% that, this was their actual, what they reported themselves as their time, and it was approved by their managers. So that would be,
and that comes from the time card.
Yeah, that's definitely one way of doing it.
So, and, so is your unit of measure 10 minutes or a tenth of an hour? Or
so the unit of measure, you know, for the solution that, that is looking at is really going to be, so if Cody worked, you know, 8 hours a day, but four of those hours were based on project, working on project 101, I can actually, as part of my time card, put, okay, here's 8 hours, but four were on project 101. The funding source, the distribution, the calculations will all be taken care of in the employee self-service that Mark has pulled up. But it's really based on hours. So if, again, if it's 8 hours a day, but four of those were worked on project 101, and then three were on, you know, 102, you can break those out per, and the calculation flows all the way over to payroll automatically. Everything's approved by a manager.
So what you're saying on the screen is you can have multiple activities that you're putting time on. And for each of these activities, you can decide, do I want it to be hours and minutes, or do I want it to be in hours with a decimal? So I did 1.5 hours, or I did 1 hour and 30 minutes. So that's for each time activity, you can pick and choose that.
So within a department or within the CSD in general, if you're going to, let's just do a what if here. If,
yeah.
If for example, we started today with a developer deposit to do a project, that typically is housed in administration, but the work product could be inside engineering, outside engineering, inside staff, outside staff, contract staff. So if, and one of the problems that we have is that at the end of the day, for example, if staff that's paid charges, let's just say over the course of a year, $50,000 against that project, that in theory shows up as departmental profit because they were reimbursed from an outside source against those hours. So is there a mechanism that can be set up to deal with that so that at any day of the week or any time of the day, somebody can add that next project so that it can be appropriately tracked? And then how does everybody in the staff know that that project exists?
Okay, so can I jump in here really quick, John? What you're referring to is internal processes, and it's really not related to what the system offers. Things that we need to determine internally how we're going to manage appropriately moving forward. We do have a cost allocation plan that is what we currently use to charge the developer deposits for internal staff, external consultants. We charge what they charge, so it's a wash as far as that goes. But as far as what you're referring to, this is not really anything that the system itself would do. This is an internal process that we need to develop.
Well, with all due respect, the systems that you have don't work. They're not used, they don't work, and they're not reported by contract on the timelines that are required by the contracts that the district entered into with the customer. So with all due respect, you need to contemplate that in this process so that you don't have this fiasco going on forever. It needs to get fixed with this system because this system apparently can deal with it, which the district hasn't been able to deal with it for the last 5 years.
John, this is Tom Hennigan, and this is precisely why we need to move forward with a system like this. The complexities of running basically a small city with very few staff that the situation we have here at the district puts us in a place where we can't keep up with some of the demands that come to us, you know, and right now we're in a wave of development that we haven't been in for many years. And quite honestly, the district's financial system put us in a place where we're caught completely off guard to do the things that you're talking about. So this is one of the things that's going to come out of here. We made sure that we picked up the project accounting module. And this is exactly how that system works. If somebody's paid $10 an hour and there's a cost allocation of 48%, then that person will be billed out at $14 and whatever an hour through the project module. And it allows us to do more frequent reporting without having to reinvent the wheel every time. So it's a great question. And it's one of the main reasons it's one of the main things that when I talked to Paula, as Paula and Nabil, as we started putting this package together, that we included the fixed asset stuff and project accounting, all that is critical to the districts being able to provide the services we need to developers like yourself and other entities working.
I'm very impressed with the system. It looks great because the idea that you have a report writer to go with all this stuff is crucial to being able to adapt over time what you might collaboratively do with other districts, et cetera, or the state or whoever you get data from. And this will be fantastic, but this module, the labor distribution payroll time card module, is, if it's accurate, will just be a huge, huge bonus for the district time savings going forward.
Yeah, and that's good. I appreciate your comments. And we are purchasing the timekeeping system as a integrated system with Tyler. So it should, if it works as planned, it should work very well. And we should be able to, in the future, as we gain confidence in the system, expand to the use of that OpenGov portal that we were showing a little bit earlier. I wanted to wait until we had our systems in gear before we implemented the OpenGov portal, but that is definitely phase two of this project. But we have a lot of cleanup to do and we have a lot of conversion to handle. So we're well on our way right now, which is a good thing. I appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Yeah, Tom, what I see here though, like John's made reference to, if we are in a position, and this is showing me at least to this point that we are able to capture this, what we used to call time card data, it seems like it would have the flexibility through report writing and everything else to ultimately build exactly the module that we would want to track the kind of stuff that John's talking about. I personally can't understand why it's only been 25 years since we looked at something that actually is in color. I mean, you know, but yeah, so far I'm really liking what I see here. There's some other extensions of that, you know, in my mind that would come later on down the road, that there would be, you know, a header screen that would give us just like they showed on that public access, but maybe not for public access. I'd like the ability to be able to just access the system periodically and, you know, on one page, get a district snapshot pretty much of where we are, as opposed to at a board meeting wallowing through, you know, pages of reports that I can find like 100 things to do with this, you know, in a very short period of time. The first thing though, I think we should concentrate on is billing our customers correctly. Once we can get that done, we can move on. But yeah, I'm liking this so far. Where are we at? More? Paula, what are we doing?
I think it's just, are there any other questions or anything else you want to see as part of the presentation, as part of the Tyler presentation?
I think the presentation was good. I think if you could, and I know we didn't talk about this ahead of time, but I know you guys do have dashboards that are designed for executives. And if you could go to that screen right now, that would be kind of cool. And then the last thing is I'd like Paula to kind of go through two things. the timing of the entire project and the costs associated with what we know today.
I can certainly talk about the first. I know Mark is, and this is Cody Gunstenson, by the way. I know my colleague Mark is looking specifically to answer that question. I know was posed by John in looking at kind of a read only or a view only access of, hey, just what's going on, maybe that specific items within the software. That functionality is actually included as part of the purchase of the ERP. So there can be, you know, specific read-only dashboards created for board members, for committee members internally that have security built around what you can access if you can only run a report, if you can only just be a view only. And when we talk about security, that's one of our favorite words to answer with, right? Because security is built throughout the entire software system. And in the district there is the client, you know, you all would dictate the security, who gets access to what. That's not something you have to contact Tyler to control. We certainly can, but you have that functionality and capabilities as well. That said, Mark, if you want to add on, turn it over to you, sir.
Yeah, let me address the dashboard concept, if I will. And so the way that we've done this is we have these pre-made dashboards based on job function. And I was just kind of looking through here to see if we had like board member or something like that, but because I know we've talked about doing that and I'm not seeing that. But let me just also say we're about to have a big upgrade on this technology, and you guys will get this as part of the way our software works is when you buy something and you do the support, you actually just keep getting the updates. So the next version of the dashboards is going to allow you to also create your own dashboards. So we could actually, like, you know, the district could meet with you and say, like, what would you like to see on your dashboard? Okay. And then they will actually be able to create these pieces with exactly the information that you're looking for. And if you want it to be a pie chart versus a listing versus a bar graph, or they could create a board member, let's say, dashboard just based on your needs. So we call that the hub for the other staff, that as we start to talk about that coming up in the future. I'm not even be able to show you one. Let me do that on my other screen here temporarily until I get it going.
So while you're working on that, Mark, let's jump in here and talk a little bit about the proposal. So with the original proposal, the total cost for first year is approximately $160,000. We have the one-time fees, which come in around $109,000, and that is all of the service support with the implementation. And then we have annual fees associated with actually the system costs itself. So that total is about $50,000. It's a three-year term. And so we are looking at the options. We are also looking at adding an additional project manager. The approximate cost of that is about $80,000 to assist us with the development and implementation of the system. And one of the things that we're also looking at is the timeline, when we're going to start the implementation, what that looks like, and how quickly we can get that ball rolling. So I just wanted to throw that out there while he had a minute to do his thing.
Thank you. So yeah, this is an example of the hub, and it has, you know, looks somewhat similar. The difference is, so this is for another product that we have that has to do with community development with code cases and permitting and planning and that kind of thing, licenses. But the concept will be the same, which is, so like you're able to place these items and then you're able to come in and edit exactly what data you're putting into it and what type of visuals that you're going to get from it. That's all under your control now, instead of just defined by us. So we'll continue to create things for you, so that, because a lot of people just, like, you know, who has the time to put that together? So this kind of gives you the best of both worlds. It'll have pre-made content, but it'll also let you create your own. And so that way you can take the items that we've done for you, and then you could add to it or edit it, or you could start from a blank page and create your own dashboards. And these all have output too. So like if you wanted to take this data and use it somewhere else, you can download that and say, okay, well, how do you want it? Do you want it as a PDF or an Excel file? Okay. How many, do you want to limit the number of records? Do I want to change the columns I'm pulling out? And then, so you're able to easily pull data out of the system also, which actually are, that's not something I highlighted in my little short demo, but all of our search screens, you can also filter and sort on and then export right to Excel from any of those grids. But this is the one that I just did. So very easy to get data out of the system. We're pretty excited about this because we've had the custom dashboards in the past and we've had the pre-built dashboards currently, and this is gonna give us everything. This will give us the best of both worlds.
So Paula and Tom, if as we go forward with this at the board meeting, can you give us you just went through it with us basically, but give us a real understanding looking forward over the next 3 years what the costs are. And I, not particularly because I question the cost, I just want to make it real clear as part of this presentation what this is going to cost. And I'd like it to be understood that, you know, I had to ask you guys because I've been associated with the district since the early 1990s. And I don't remember having any other system other than what we have now. So it's a significant expenditure, but I think amortized over the life of the system. It finally has caught up with us that we, without this kind of product, we cannot continue to service the district in the way we need to service it. We're managing irrigation ditches. We're managing 3, 4, 5, and 6 development projects. We're working with a system that won't support general accounting. The other question I had was, you know, we had an initial discussion about cleaning up general ledger and a chart of accounts. Are we going to do that first? Or are we going to try and dump in our existing data and then try and clean it up? How are you guys going to handle that?
No, we're actually working on cleaning up our chart of accounts now. We're starting to create kind of a mock chart. You know, we don't obviously know right now what the system character limitations, the account strings look like. So we want to clean up what we currently have. And so we've started working on that. We're cleaning up our vendors as well. We're cleaning up our residents, you know, obviously we're cleaning up our utility billing system. We're trying to get a jump on that. So when we do migrate to the new system, we'll have clean data to move into the new system and move forward with. And so that is definitely something that we are currently working on, and hopefully we'll catch a lot of the major items before we start the development and implementation process.
So are there any problems you see at the forefront? And I don't even know how to categorize this, that data that we use in formats that we use would have to be converted before it could be accepted by this system. In other words, you know, I've been through these, I can't tell you how many of these I've been through where, oh, it doesn't accept asterisks, or it doesn't accept dashes, or oh, your part numbers are too big, or however those kinds of, is there anything you're seeing that indicates that we might have problems that would lead to a delay in implementing this?
I don't foresee any problems in that would lead to delays. What I do know, because I have had experience with these types of implementations as well, is that we have to customize our information to the system. And so, you know, some of these can be uploaded through delineated Excel reports. Some of those files are very voluminous, and we just need to delineate the information and format it in a way that the system will allow us to upload. And I believe the chart of accounts should be one of those formatting files that we can use to upload, and Mark and Cody can correct me if I'm wrong. But for the most part, those types of things should be fairly simple in process. It's just massaging the data to ensure that we're capturing it correctly, we're bringing over what we need to bring over, we're eliminating what we don't. So really that's the time-consuming process associated with that. But I don't foresee that when we work with the Tyler project managers, you know, they will be assisting us with this process as well. So I don't foresee that would cause any delays. I think if any delays were to happen, it would be because, you know, we just don't have the staffing to help implement it. And so, you know, barring that problem, I think we should be okay.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, John, I'm gonna chime in for just a quick second to follow up on what Paula just said. It's very critical that we hire a short-term contractor who has experience in implementing these ERP systems. You have to find somebody who can be dedicated, who understands the variety of integrations that you just talked about, that understands the staff limitations, that also understands how to work with Tyler as a company. There's multiple failures in financial system implementations, all the way up from the federal government to local government, the state being the best example locally, when they don't dedicate a resource to making sure these projects run correctly, they almost always fail. And they almost always fail in ways that a lot of people don't even see, but the promise that we make today, if you want it to come to fruition over the next 12 to 18 months, we definitely need that resource. And we don't have that resource now, unless of course we have Paula do nothing else but work on ERP for the next 12 months, which is not reasonable. So just going forward, that's a decision you guys are gonna have to make as a board, but it's something that's real critical to even going forward with the project.
So what kind of a time frame are you looking at this point for running parallel, or what do you foresee as some target for a cutover? How's that going to work?
Paula?
Well, I have an accelerated timeline, but that's something that we need to work out with Cody while we're working on the contract negotiation piece. You know, I think that they had submitted a sample 18-month timeline, but I would prefer to get it done a lot quicker than that. You know, we have a significant gap with all of the systems that we're currently running. And, you know, we want to remedy that as soon as possible. So that's part of the discussions that we're having with, or that we'll be having with the Tyler staff.
Yeah, Paula, this is Cody as well. I just wanted to add that as well. You know, when we originally were talking about 18 months, you know, actually looking at some other solutions as well that we were potentially going to include as part of the process. And I know that we had removed the EAM solution, the asset management solution, I believe. But with that said, the timeframe from really signing a contract to a go live is actually closer to about 9 to 12 months. So we're absolutely in that window that the district is really aiming for. And we can certainly be able to fine-tune that project plan as we move forward.
Is there a way then that as part of this implementation plan, we focus on at least off the out of the starting blocks, the general accounting aspects of what the system does? I mean, do we get it running invoicing, and do we get it running payroll, and do we get it running basic chart of accounts, and build on that? How do you foresee you know, I'm assuming it's not just, you know, we pick a date and then we flip the switch from off to on and away we go. How do you plan to do that?
So without having the plans in front of me, I can tell you how the last implementation that I worked on went. So typically we run the chart of accounts first. General ledger obviously is the most important thing of a financial system. It's the core. Without that, we can't do anything else. And so once we get that set up and in the system, then we can start actually looking at the development of the other modules, the purchasing, the project modules, invoicing and all of that. And so once we get all of those developed and implemented and staff are fully trained, we have all of that data transferred over, then we can look at doing the cutover. And the last cutover that I did, we carried 2 months simultaneously, but because we were fairly successful, and I say fairly because nothing ever goes smoothly with any of these, and I've done so many of these in my entire career, every single one of them has little bugs that you have to work out. But after that 2 months, we didn't need to have that concurrent system running. So, you know, hopefully in best case scenario, we would like to have everything fully loaded into the system and running in a way that we're comfortable with the processes and how we're doing things and the workflow is correct and the roles are correctly assigned and we are able to start processing things. So that has been my experience, and that's what I expect to see out of this implementation. You know, obviously it would go in phases. We would start with the general ledger first, and then we would move on to HR payroll, and then we would finalize it with utility billing. One of the other things, the asset management piece that we had referred to earlier, you know, that is something that we're looking at in maybe another phase after the utility billing. You know, we do have some discussions that we need to have internally as far as the benefits and the usage and how that's going to work with our system. So that's what I foresee to happen. I don't know if Cody has any insight he'd like to share with that as well, but that has been my experience.
Paul, I think that was a fantastic explanation. You really hit the nail on the head there.
Thank you.
Okay, so what do we need to do now?
Well, what we're asking for is that the finance committee approve us bringing this to the board in a presentation format with a recommendation that we enter into these agreements, both to with Tyler and to begin the search for a project manager, and then hopefully sign contracts in the near future. And then start this in earnest in January or whenever, you know, part of the contract negotiation is Tyler has to dedicate their resources as well. So as you start checking more of these boxes, you're more finite in your plan. So our recommendation is that you guys consider allowing us to bring this to the board for approval.
Marty, what do you think?
Yeah, it's a long time coming. I think that's the next step.
I agree. So why don't we record it as this, that we recommend approval, that we take it forward with this and an expanded presentation and a discussion that relates to the systems cost and a discussion that relates to the contract for an implementation consultant. Does that work?
Yes.
Cody, how does that sound to you from Tyler's perspective? Are you able to be available again next Wednesday at 1:00 in the afternoon, our time?
It's Wednesday. I'm available. Mark, since we have you on the line as well, or is your calendar available?
Let me look.
That's Pacific Standard Time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, if it's mostly contracts and stuff, they might not need me, but if I can be available, let's see what next Wednesday at 1:00. Is that what was said?
Yes.
Um, Yeah, I have. I can make that work.
That's awesome. Looks like we're good.
Yep. Okay. I just can't believe I'm actually looking at this in real life. what do we need to do now, Amelia?
Well, I'm gonna ask Mark to, you're awesome. I'm gonna put it on the agenda for next week. So that's easy. And then if Mark will stop sharing, I will share my screen and we'll go back to the agenda.
Oh, were there any, before we get out of
the, yeah, no chats, no questions.
Oh, okay, then good. Go ahead and do what you gotta do. Okay.
Yeah, and while we're doing that, I just, always gotta say thank you for Paula to put all this together in such a short amount of time, and Nabil for working with us and getting to this successful point we're at today.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Yes. Tyler,
thank you. Thank you guys.
Yes, thank you very much.
Take care.
Amelia, what do we do?
Item number 8, director comments.
I don't have anything further. Does Marty, do you have
anything? No, I don't.
Is there any hands or questions out there, Amelia?
None.
Okay, then we can move on to adjournment and we will see you all next week.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.